Good morning. Today we continue our study in the Beatitudes. Our theme thought is this, that Jesus gave us an amazing new concept when he said, "The kingdom of God is within you." In this new covenant, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is not geographic. It's not racial, nor is it based strictly upon ritual and ceremony, but is a righteousness of attitudes, heart conditions, mindsets, a disposition of life, resulting in the way we live. The kingdom of God is in you. Peter said of this kingdom, it's a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who belongs to God. Paul maintained it was having the heart, the mind, the attitude, and behavior of Jesus. Indeed, the kingdom of heaven is in us. The Beatitudes are a blessing. Jesus began to teach them, saying, "Blessed." The Greek is a word used to describe the joy of the gods, a divine joy, a state of supreme happiness, absolute peace, total tranquility. The Greek describes a state of joy, happiness, peace, tranquility that is self-contained, completely independent of change or chance, completely independent of what is going on around us. In Philippians 4:7, Paul describes this as a peace that is beyond human understanding. You see, human happiness is dependent upon external circumstances of life, but our Christian joy, our peace and tranquility is above situation and circumstances. These are indeed attitudes that we as Christians, as children of God, are to have. Beatitudes, attitudes to be. Secondly, each beatitude has a promise, a particular state of blessing. Note verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." The attitude is meekness. The promised state of blessing is that we will inherit the earth. 2 weeks ago, we studied, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Jesus is speaking of those who see themselves as sinners without any resources to save themselves. David spoke of this condition when he said, "God desires a broken and contrite heart." It is seeing ourselves as we are in the light of God and who he is. Last week, it was, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted." We noted that we are to mourn personal losses, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, maybe a personal rejection by a family member or close friend, perhaps over the loss of health. There is also the mourning because of the sorrow and suffering of others. Our Lord grieved over the lostness of his world. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together, protected you like a hen does her chicks, and you would not know me." Matthew 23:37. He grieved at the death of a friend. Jesus wept with Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. And today he enters into our pain. The question is, do we weep with others in their sorrow and pain? Thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, we are to mourn our own sins. You see, here it is. The man or woman who can no longer grieve over their own sin is in serious condition. Only when an individual's heart is broken because of his own sin is a candidate to be comforted by God. Today we begin with the verse number 5. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." These are strange words for an age in which men and women think first of power and status, where people are caught up in a struggle for supremacy, but minimize the development of character and a Jesus-like lifestyle. Indeed, Jesus is talking of a style of life that is radically different from our culture. In fact, just the opposite. Webster says, "Meekness is being mild-tempered, not easily provoked or irritated, patient even when injured, not vain, haughty, or resentful." Webster says, "Meekness is a synonym for humility. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not backwardness and shyness. Meekness is not a laid-back, easy-going indifference. Meekness is not apathy." Listen to what Augsburger has to say about what genuine biblical meekness encompasses. I think these are excellent thoughts. He says, "Meekness is a gentle lowliness of heart. Meekness is an attitude that looks beyond self. Meekness is humility, patience, gentleness, forbearance. Meekness is yielding, submitting to good. Meekness is acknowledging that truth is bigger than oneself. Meekness is an uncompromising allegiance to truth without being defensive or divisive. Meekness is seeing people more important than things. Meekness is placing the interests of others before our own. Meekness is bearing one another's burdens." Indeed, the kingdom of God is not based upon works, ritual, or ceremony, but is within us. Let's examine some things the Bible says to us about meekness. Zechariah prophesied that Jesus would be lowly, Then the New Testament quotes that Old Testament prophet and calls Jesus meek. So the Bible teaches us that meekness is gentleness coupled with lowliness. Moses is our example of genuine biblical meekness. Numbers 12:3 reads, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which are upon the face of the earth." When his older brother Aaron and sister Miriam acted ugly, Moses was not angered or resentful. He was not into power, status, or supremacy. In fact, when the Lord was ready to rebuke and punish them, instead of being angered, Moses went to God in prayer on their behalf. David is another example of meekness. When wicked Shimei approached the king cursing and throwing stones, David's bodyguard was ready to take his life. But calm, meek, gentle David said, "Let him alone. Maybe the Lord will allow us to learn something, even in his ugliness." I believe Jesus demonstrates our attitude of meekness when he said to the woman taken in adultery, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." The Greek word rendered meek was used to speak of a colt that had been broken to ride. It describes power that has been brought under control, that has been harnessed, disciplined, and made useful. "Blessed are the meek" describes those who have been tamed by God, those who are masters of their own inner being. This is contrasted with the arrogant, undisciplined, and disobedient. You see, friends, genuine happiness is a result of our own willingness to discipline ourselves uncompromisingly to truth, God's truth. There is no happiness in living a loose, anything-goes, ungodly lifestyle. How many do we know today that are living miserable lives simply because they will not discipline themselves into something meaningful and useful? How many of us in the kingdom of God are not living the abundant, blessed life Jesus came to make possible because we will not discipline ourselves in walking as Jesus walked, having his attitude, heart, disposition, and behavior? Listen to these New Testament admonitions that encourage and command meekness. Galatians 5:22 and 23. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness or meekness, and self-control." In Ephesians 4:1 and 2, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Colossians 3 and verse 12, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, "But you, man of God, flee from all this, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and meekness," or gentleness. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25, "The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth." Titus 3 and verse 2, "Slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true meekness and humility toward all men." James 1 and verse 21 then tells us, "Lay aside all moral wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." The promise of this beatitude is that the meek will inherit the earth. Personally, I see this answered in two ways. First, Psalm 37 and verse 11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." There is a peace that one who is meek will have that one who lacks his quality will not have. Think of the battles of life that a person has that is egotistical, selfish, and not gentle. While one who is humble spirit is one who generally can get along with others and enjoys a life of peace. We can also look at it in the realm of eschatology, the fact that the meek will inherit the heaven and the new earth. We're talking about heaven. These are the inheritance and the possessions that really matter in life, made possible by our having a Jesus heart of meekness. Now note something here in these first three Beatitudes. We have died to self, we've cleaned the canvas, emptied the vessel of self, selfishness, pride, and self-centered attitude. Now we are ready to paint the portrait, ready to be filled with the goodness of God. We have denied self, we have crucified the old man, We are ready to pick up the cross and follow Jesus, have His heart. We have been raised to a new and a different kind of life. Jesus, what kind of life is this to be? This is where we will start next week with, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." If you're not His child today, become one by faith, repentance and confession, and New Testament baptism, immersion in water, for the forgiveness of sins. If there's any way that we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.